This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. It's been a little more than a month since Liberian President Charles Taylor relinquished control of the country to accept an offer of asylum in Nigeria. Taylor had been indicted by the United Nations War Crimes Tribunal in Sierra Leone. Moses Blah, a leader from Taylor's army, was appointed to run the war-torn country, but there are signs that Charles Taylor is still very much in charge of Liberia, handing out orders by cell phone and to some degree still controlling the country's purse strings. Jacques-Paul Klein is the UN Secretary General's Special Representative for Liberia, and he joins us now. So good to talk to you again.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here.
The former Liberian president is now living in a villa in the coastal Nigerian town of Calabar, but it appears that he's still running the government in absentia.
He was until today, and I'm hoping that based on what President Obasanjo told him, that will be the end of it. But over the past month and a half since he's left, he's been on a cell phone. Ministers have visited him in Nigeria, businessmen have visited him in Nigeria, and he still has the power to threaten, to intimidate, to have homes thrashed. And he's still calling people saying, the ship's coming in, I want my 15%. So you have a psychopath with delusions of grandeur who doesn't understand that it's done, it's over, he's gone.
So he got a message today. What
Very
exactly
much so.
Was he
I mean,
told?
The Nigerian government basically said the terms of his asylum did not allow any interference in Liberia's ongoing political affairs, period. Now, what I'm knowing Taylor, this probably won't stop him.
Well, I was going to ask you, where are the teeth?
Well,
because,
exactly.
there were stipulations. He was not to talk
exactly.
to others, talk to anyone. He was not to be involved
exactly.
in the government. He was not to travel without permission, and he seemed to sort of turn his nose up to all
these
stipulations.
The hope is, knowing Taylor, that he will basically abuse the terms of his exile, and at some point the Nigerian government will have to say, my good man, we did the right thing, and we gave you refuge. Now, you've broken your word to us, and we will look good in the world by doing exactly what we're going to do, and that is throw you out, because the warrant is valid. I mean, we can't even sitting here and say Taylor is guilty or innocent. All we have is an indictment and a warrant. The court will ultimately decide his guilt or innocence.
But if, despite the warning today from the Nigerian government, if Charles Taylor continues to flex his influence in the country, won't this undermine the transitional government?
It will. At some point, I guess he made a bombastic threat, I will return. I hope he does, so I can arrest him and send him to Sierra Leone. My first United Nations mission in Croatia, we arrested the first indicted war criminal in the former Yugoslavia. I would love to do that again. And that's because that's where he belongs. Because, you know, in all countries you have theft. We all understand the concept of stealing. But it's not. It's totally destroying your own state where there's nothing left. Where, in other words, you have to understand that no minister, no legislator, fireman, policeman, civil servant has been paid for 2 or 3 years. He literally was the one-man treasury. Every bit of money that came into the country, for whatever reason, or any export taxes, he took.
You told the Washington Post that until you drive a stake in his heart, he won't die. Now, I assume you're not speaking literally there, but what did you mean? How do you deal with this problem?
I think what I meant is that you're watching these old Dracula movies. You know, that's the only way you finally end the problem. I think the stake in the heart here would be on trial, where the people of Liberia, for the first time, have a public accounting of the crimes he committed. Now, it also means that perhaps one should look at his partners in crime in Liberia itself, and that a Liberian government may do over time, once you establish a justice system that's functioning. But this is long-term. I mean, it's going to take...
Exactly. It's long-term. And when you talk about the stake in the heart, putting Charles Taylor on trial, that's not something that's likely to happen quickly. So how do you get him to... How do you pry his fingers off the chalice of government?
Well, I think over time, Liberia probably needs to have something like an audit by a credible international auditing firm to look at where the money's gone for the past 2 or 3 years. Tim Weiner's article in the New York Times was excellent. You know, he estimates $100 million plus in the last several years. That's the first step. The second step is there are institutions internationally that will do your customs service for you, so you don't have to do it. And therefore, you don't worry about bribery or corruption. I collect your customs, honestly, and at the end of the year, I give you a check for $30 million. That's what we collected. Our challenge will be, after we demilitarize and demobilize, to find international investment. No one is going to give us any money. And you can't go in and say, I want $800 million. You have to go in and say, we've looked at the harbor in Monrovia, it's going to take $4.5 million. We looked at the water infrastructure, that's $6 million. Telephone grid, electrical grid, etc. Very specific projects where smaller countries will help you pick up the smaller ones or band together 2 or 3 of them to pick up a larger one.
Mr. Klein, it was very good to speak to you again.
Thank you very much for having me.
Jacques-Paul Klein is the UN Secretary General's Special Envoy for Liberia.